Hi, my name is Weston Miser. This Haiti trip was really unbelievably spiritual. The first half of this trip was spent in Ghana, Yves, Haiti, where we stayed at a pastor that lived in Haiti, and he just invited us into his home, very humble. And that pastor ran an orphanage down in Haiti, and that's where we spent most of our time, just hanging out with the orphans. And one morning in Ghana Eve, we woke up before sunrise, went up on the mountain down on Ghana Eve, and just praised God, and prayed over the city. We all felt God's presence during these times in Ghana Eve, and we all grew closer to Him. The second half of the trip took place in Cap-Haitien, Haiti, where we teamed up with Empowered International, and we held a VBS there. And Empowered International is where young adults coming out of Haiti, Empowered International just gives hope and opportunity to the young adults. And I'm going to hand it off to Cooper, and he's going to talk more about our time in Ghana Eve.
Yeah, so I'm Cooper Green, and I'm not on staff here at Grace, but they trusted me to speak to you today, so let's see how this goes. As Weston mentioned, we went to a city called Ghana Eve in Haiti, and we stayed with a man named Pastor Luke. And Pastor Luke is just an amazing guy. He runs the orphanage, and he invited us into his home very humbly and just with open arms, and him and his wife made it clear that we were in God's house and not their own house. And after we got settled in, this big crowd of orphan kids just rushed in and they greeted us, and they were amazing kids, and it was clear that they were being raised in a loving environment. So Pastor Luke doesn't just bring these kids into his orphanage, but he brings them into his family, and he makes them feel loved, and they turn into his children. And a lot of the kids come from a village called Duen, which is really, really poor, and most people can't even provide for themselves, let alone their children. And Pastor Luke recognizes that these people are the least, last, and lost, and he sees their need for Jesus. So now I'm going to read the parable of the lost sheep. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who does not need to repent. Pastor Luke really takes this to heart. He goes into those dangerous places and he finds those lost sheep of Haiti. He finds the people who are broken, who need Jesus, and he brings them into his family. He brings in the children who are just the least, last, and lost, who have nothing, and he provides for them. 1 John chapter 3, verse 18 says, "Let us not love with words of speech, but with actions and in truth." And Pastor Luke runs a family on mission, and he loves with action and truth. He doesn't just say he's going to do something, but he actually goes and he does it. And he does it out of the love that Jesus has for him, and so he spreads that to the children. And as he brings these children in to his family, he gives them the most incredible thing, and that's Jesus and his love. And Pastor Luke isn't doing something like incredibly like rare. Like, you all can do this too. You all can run a family on mission. And that's what we've been trying to do in Carroll High School, is we've been trying to run a family on mission together. And I just encourage you all to press into that and really take that to heart. Now Hunter's going to talk a little more about the love Jesus has for us.
Hi, my name is Hunter Wallace, and I go to Carroll High School. And before I get started, I just want to ask, Holy Spirit, come. And a lot of people, when you're describing family on mission or God's family, you say, "I'm in God's family." Or instead, we should be saying, "I'm a part of God's family," because it's not just "I'm in God's family." It's a little deeper than that. It's "I'm a part of His a piece of the puzzle." And as Cooper described, Pastor Luke became a father figure for these orphan kids. And he brought them into his family, and that was just a piece of the puzzle of God's bigger plan and of God's bigger family. And God is not just our Lord, but he is also our Father, our friend, and our home. Job 8:21 says, he will yet fill your mouth with laughter and your lips with shouts of joy. And a lot of people in Haiti are filled with so much joy with what little they have. And on my first trip, this really stuck out to me in a very large way. Because the way Pastor Luke brought these kids into his family, the same way God brought us into his family, to be a part of his family. Our culture here in America is so focused on like making better technology or improving what materials we have, gaining more materials and becoming more materialistic based and to support our needs. But a lot of people in Haiti focus on making life better by building a stronger relationship with God or putting forth their needs to God because he provides far greater gifts than materials and technology. And people of Haiti look to God to provide their daily needs. For example, God has given these kids a family, and God has given these kids that we interacted with Pastor Luke through God's grace. Family is a very important thing when having a relationship with the Lord. I realized this after my first trip to Haiti when I came home. I missed my friends and I missed my spiritual high in a very large way. And when I came home from my first trip, I fell back into the same life that I had been living before. I missed my brothers and sisters that had come on the trip with me. And we were sitting in school one day, and we were sitting at lunch, and Colin, he was like, "Hey man, we don't need to be in Haiti to have that spiritual high. We don't need to be going across the country. We can do that here. We can be disciples here." And growing up as a kid, I was always so focused on those guys that were in the Bible and who were disciples and who were followers of Jesus. And I was like, "Man, I don't think I can be like them." I said, "Those guys were so close to Jesus. They had such a crazy relationship. I don't think that I can do that." And that's where, when Colin said this to me, I opened my eyes and I was like, "Man, I want that spiritual high back. I want to be in that place where I'm feeling where I'm good and I'm reaching out to people and I'm saying, 'Hey man, you know about God,' I'm spreading the gospel, I'm sharing the word." And that's what really drove me to just want more. And I wanted more. We all wanted more, which led us to reach out to others the best we could and be the best that we could for our Father. And I want to share a verse. It's Deuteronomy 1:17 and 18. It says, "You shall not be partial in judgment. You shall hear the small and the great alike. You shall not be intimidated by anyone, for the judgment is God's. And the case that is too hard for you, you shall bring to me, and I will hear it. And I commanded you at that time all the things that I should do," or that you should do. And this is really what we have been focused on as a group since we came home from that first trip. And that was reaching out to other people. And when it's too hard, the least, the last, and the lost, when they're so self-driven on their own views, we really prayed and we gave it to God. And God gave us the words to reach out. And we brought numerous people into our family to be a part of our family. And while the Lord's family continued to grow, we had another chance to go on a Haiti trip, so we accepted. And this grew the discipleship of our congregation. And we did a lot of the same things that we did on the first trip. But this time we got to practice our leadership more than anything, being a leader to people who hadn't been on the trip before. And this practice helped us grow in our faith to measures that we had no idea possible. It led us to see through God's eyes and reach out to those people in need, the people that are sitting by themselves in the cafeteria, the people who are sitting by themselves in the class. And we really made it our choice for God to give it to him and spread his name. And so what we saw at this Haiti trip is we saw his family and saw the supernatural, including a very awesome experience on the mountaintop. And Chase will give you a little bit more on that.
Hi, my name's Chase Miguel. I'm sharing about our mountaintop experience. So on our second morning in Ghana Eve, a bunch of us woke up super early in the pitch black before the sunrise. We all wanted to see a Haiti sunrise, so we walked about a half a mile to the mountaintop. When we got there, we spent most of our time just in prayer and in all of God's creation. We're also accompanied by a few locals. They're praying over the city and shouting praises to God. There's no doubt that these devoted believers were overflowed with the Holy Spirit. There was this one Haitian woman on the mountaintop that was up there the whole time when we were there. She was just praying out loud the whole time, and she was just shouting, hallelujah, 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 over and over for the longest time. Pretty sure we all felt chills and spiritual high during that. That was hands down the most beautiful sunrise I've ever seen. I remember the first day we were there in Haiti, Adam shared Psalms 8, 3 through 4 with me. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in the place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them, human beings that you care for them? This verse popped in my head on the mountain and made me realize the God of the entire universe wants me, cares for me, and loves me. I can have the most intimate relationship with my Savior, and it's all up to me. We broke into pairs and spread it across the mountain just to talk to each other and to tell each other what's on our hearts. So me and Cooper were together. We were just praising him. Not going to lie, I started bawling, and I think I made him cry too. Then we started talking about what our life should look like when we get back to our normal lives and not just going back to our old ways. We didn't want this experience to not change us. We realized that there were the least, the last, and the lost all around us everywhere we were in our normal lives, and not just in a foreign country we go on a mission trip to. A verse that kind of describes my thoughts and emotions on that mountain is Acts 2, 25 through 28. I saw the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest in hope, because you will not abandon me to the realm of the death. You will not let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will fill me with your joy and your presence. That was the most intimate I felt with my Father in heaven on the mountain. We recognize the deep love he has for us and every one of his children, especially the least, last, and the lost. Cooper and I discuss what our lives need to look like when we get back home, and the love we need to show everyone and the outcast. We wanted to start by showing God's love to others, by just caring for people, showing their love, inviting them to our group driven that we invite people of peace that are open to hearing about God's word. And Adam will speak more about Matthew 25.
Hi, my name's Adam Smith. I'm on the leadership team here at Grace. I am the Northside youth leader. So I have the privilege of leading about 15 middle schoolers, the majority of whom go to Maple Creek, a couple at DeKalb and a couple at Canterbury. I also have the awesome privilege of just being a part of what these guys are doing. These are just a group of high school guys who go to Carroll, who love the Lord, and who want to see the kingdom come at Carroll. So I have the privilege of being able to just sit in on what they do and pray with them and stand with them and just pray for that breakthrough at Carroll. And these guys, this trip to Haiti, I'm not exaggerating when I say it changed their lives. It changed the way that they view people. It changed the way that they view mission. It changed the way that they live. And that's just such a testament of what God can do in a short time. So at the Northside, the past couple weeks, we've been talking about this idea of family on mission. And that's a phrase that's thrown around at Grace a lot. And some of you might not be exactly sure what that means. So I'm just going to read a passage out of Acts chapter 2, verse 42, where it talks about the fellowship of believers in the early church. It says, "They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved." And that's how church was in the early church and in early Acts. So just do me a favor and just put yourself in a position where you're on this desert island, just completely isolated from everything, and all you have is this book. All you have is the Word of God. And you're reading Acts, and you're just spending some time there, and you read just this passage of the fellowship of believers and what the church is. But you have nobody. You have no brothers or sisters in Christ, and you long for that. You want to see this picture of believers coming together and selling their possessions and building each other up and encouraging each other. So you get on this boat, you come to America, and you walk through the front doors of a church. I think more often than not, the church that we are a part of today in this country does not look like this picture in Acts chapter 2. And that breaks my heart, because when I was exposed to Pastor Luke in Haiti, he knew what it meant to live out this passage of fellowship believers. He knows what it means to live as a family on mission. Cooper talked a little bit about what Pastor Luke does. And what he does is he leads about 50 churches. And he also has an orphanage of about 90 kids. But these orphans that he helps out, it's not a typical orphanage. He isn't a pastor who comes in once a week to the orphanage and he teaches for an hour out of the word and then he goes home and that's it. And all he does is gives them food and water. No, Pastor Luke makes these kids his children. They are part of his family. Pastor Luke's house was about 3 to 4 minutes away from the orphanage, and their doors were open all the time to these kids. They could come in, they could have fun, they could relax, they could eat, they could do whatever. And it's because Pastor Luke had compassion for them as Jesus has had compassion on us. And he and his family, his wife and his daughter, have taken on this role of bringing other people into what they're doing, bringing other people into their family and caring and loving and living a life well-lived. Pastor Luke knows what it means to show the church of Acts chapter 2. I was also reading Matthew 25 the other day, a passage that you've all heard of or read at some point. And the parable of the sheep and the goats really stuck out to me. Let me just read it for you. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne, and all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people from one another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go visit you?" The king will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters, you did for me." Matthew 25 isn't an option for us as Christians. Caring for the least of these isn't bonus points with God. You don't get brownie points because you stop and you care for the least of these. This is our life, and this is what we're called to do. When we see that homeless person on the side of the road, do we drive by and make a preconceived judgment about them before we even stop and talk to them? When we're at school and we see that kid sitting alone who has no friends, do we go and do we talk to him, or do we just think, well, there's probably a reason he doesn't have any friends and I don't want to get out of my comfort zone? Or do we look at our coworkers who we know are struggling with things in life, and we let them struggle and we don't come around them? Pastor Luke lives out Matthew 25, and he cares for the people who are struggling. He cares for the lost. He cares for the least. And so should we. We as a church at Grace Gathering, we have an opportunity to look like the church in Acts 2, to look like the righteous who cared for the least of these. And it's not an option that we get to do if we feel like it that day. It's a choice, it's messy, and it's hard. But we need to find a family. We need to find a group who we live on mission with and we care for the least of these. These guys over here, they know what it means to care for the least of these. They have a missional community called Driven. And at Carroll High School, basically all that means is they live life together and they pray together and they reach out to their friends who don't know the Lord. One of their testimonies that I found super encouraging was they were sitting at lunch, a couple of them, they're split up in lunches just due to class schedule. And they look over and there's a kid who is sitting by himself. His name is Ben. And this was on, I don't know, first, second day of school. So two of them go over there and they sit down and they introduce themselves and they say, hey, Ben, you know, you can come sit with us tomorrow. But the next day they had different lunches. So Ben was again sitting in by himself, but it was another group of these guys who were in lunch and they had heard about Ben. So they go up to Ben. So 2 days in a row now, Ben has had random guys come up to him and sit with him and love on him and invite him into their group, invite him into their family. And that's what it means. That's what it means to care for the least of these. So what does that look like for us? Does it look like you getting together with your neighbors in your neighborhood who love the Lord and trying to see the kingdom in your neighborhood? Does it look like you seeking out a coworker who you know goes to a church, but you guys just don't talk about it much because that's inappropriate for the workplace? Does it look like you at your schools to find a group of people come together, live together, and fight together and see the kingdom? As Colin comes up and talks next, just be mindful of what it means for you in your life to live in community and to really carry out Acts chapter 2 and Matthew 25.
Yeah, so us guys have been on a journey. Us, as brothers and sisters in our school, have been praying so much to see God's kingdom come down to earth. And we can pray as much and ask God to use us, but if we never listen to his voice and respond with our lives and with our actions, then we're missing God's whole purpose. Because Luke 5:31 says this, "Healthy people don't need a doctor, sick people do. I have come to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners and need to repent." We have been inviting in people into our lives that may look like us on the outside, but are broken on the inside. We have taken in someone who has lost their mother and tries to forget that it ever even happened. They try to live with it, never even was a part of that, that she never even did die. And he's living inside with pain. And there's another person who parents abuse them, and they try so hard to fight it, but they can't. And someone's mom who's struggling with MS and asking God why. Why? And even someone who's blinded by the reality of peer pressure and drugs. And it's not easy, and it's not pretty. There are days where I just want to give up, but I remember who my God is and how much he loves me and what he's done for me. And there are people, there might be people in this room that are dealing with depression, that are struggling, that are hurting. And there are people in our country, in our city, in our neighborhoods that are dealing with the same thing. The difference between us and them is that we're here. We're together. We get to hear that there is a loving God that loves us so much. They don't. They don't get to hear that there's a sovereign God above all that loves them so much and cares for them all. And people might say, oh, well, everyone in the United States has heard the name of Jesus. But I don't know if that's true. Because they might have heard someone screaming on the side of the road, screaming Jesus. But what if instead we invited those people, the least, the last, and the lost, invited them into our house, invited them into our homes, into our lives, and showed them who Jesus was? Because we don't need a man or a pastor standing on the stage to tell us this. We don't. It can be you. It can be us. And what would it look like if we gave up our comfortability, our security, and our perspective on life, on the world, and take up our cross and gave it all? So I encourage you all to go to those people, the least, the last, and the lost, and invite them into your homes and into your lives and show them who God's family truly is. So I want to ask this question. So who are the least, the last, and the lost people in your lives that you can invite into your family, into God's family, and into our homes and into our lives? Let's pray. Yeah, Father, we love you so much. And Father, I pray, Lord, that each one of us will recognize what we're called to do on this earth and how we're called to glorify your great name and how we don't need to have a man standing on the stage to share this, Father. It can be us. We can go out and share them and show them who Jesus is. And show them who you are and how much you love them. And so, Father, I pray, Lord, that you'll give us the confidence and the boldness to go out with your spirit to speak to us so that we'll understand who you are. And so, Father, we give it to you and we praise your name and we give it all to you. In Jesus' name, amen.